Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. As usual, we've got some fantastic live music for you today, and I'm glad to be with some old friends of mine. How many years have I known you guys now? Three, four, five?
I might suspect five.
Since the Blues Jam was at Jean-Jacques.
That's right. So I met you guys through the Jeff Hartwell Band.
Yes. And that's actually how we met each other as well.
Oh, really? You guys?
He was playing in the band before I was.
Okay. Well, before we start talking about it, Chris Burke on keyboards, Rich Kelly on bass and later guitar. The name of the group you're presenting today is The Track.
Yep.
I remember you as the Montana...
Wyoming Wind Power.
Oh,
that name didn't fly.
No.
We've had some trouble agreeing on a name.
Okay. Well, you know, it's good. It helps you fight, helps you bond, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, I met you guys through the Jeff Hartwell Jam, starting at Jean-Jacques in Pleasantville, which has recently moved to Jackson and Wheeler.
Right.
I think you guys have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. I think you've been doing it longer than I have.
Yeah, you were away at school. You left for school.
I was in
That's right. Your father was...
Yes, my father was
your father
was
doing
it for a while.
And it's funny.
That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed playing.
Because we had Mike Bram on the show, who used to be the drummer in that outfit. And actually today, he's playing with Jason Mraz in Australia.
Oh, nice.
Story.
Yeah, he's a great musician.
Yeah, he's done well for himself. So it's very exciting for me to hear you guys play some original music, because I've heard you play Allman Brothers, I've heard you play a ton of great blues stuff. And actually, I've heard you do some stuff at the Jam at Lucy's Lounge in Pleasantville, run by Pete Hopp, which is kind of an acoustic open mic, and I've heard you do some stuff there. So why the urge all of a sudden to get out of copy music and put something of your own together?
For me, it probably came with playing with him for so long in other bands. We always kind of had a lot of the same musical ideas within the context of a band that was playing other people's music and covers and things like that. We just always seemed to lock in. I play Hammond organ a lot with the other bands we play and have kind of a rhythmic style that Rich can play back to well, and I can listen to the stuff that he does. So I think it started from that, like identifying each other as kind of being on the same page with the kind of stuff that we liked to play and then listen to, and then
trying to make a career as a musician, you know, you have to balance out like what pays and what you really want to do. And I think, you know, since I started playing music, I've always wanted to do original music, but once you start making pretty good money playing covers, you know, it's fun. I love playing covers too, you know, so we finally found the time and we've gotten together. It's taken a while. It's been a lot of talking, but now we've been able to get together and write some songs.
So you guys are in the workshop phase. I understand that you're writing the songs and your first step is to put together a CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did some gigs last year, kind of got the ball rolling, but we have so much work that we decided that it would be better to have an album first and then do the gigs to support the album, do some showcases. And
how would you describe your original music?
How would I describe it? I guess my stuff tends to lean towards, I guess, more like down-tempo kind of lyrics that may not explicitly tell a story that anyone would pick up on right away.
Obscure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not using fancy words or anything like that, but there's not always a clear narrative, but I like to think that it does something for the listener. They can.
So you let the listener draw their own conclusion rather than smacking them in the face with a preachy kind of a thing.
Yeah, I don't even really have anything to preach, so I don't have to worry about being preachy. There's stories behind it where it came from. For me, I wasn't like picking stuff out of the sky, but That's kind of where I lean. But writing with Rich helps me to kind of push music that maybe moves a little bit more or does better in like a full rock band context, which is something that we're looking to.
So you guys write together. It's not like you write a song, you write a song, or is it a little of both?
A little of both, yeah. Definitely a little of both.
What about you? What's...
I find myself writing stuff that's very groove-oriented. You know, I like it to be kind of funky, you know. And but also, you know, very vocally driven. You know, I mean, we're not really... Our songs themselves are not really vehicles for soloing or anything like that. They're much more... much more of a vibe, you know. I'm always looking for a general mood, and I kind of try to get that first, and then I try to get the lyrics to sort of coordinate with the mood of the music.
So what are you going to play for us now? You want to introduce both songs first, or one at a time, or however?
You can introduce it. It's your...
Let's start with yours? The Children of the Fog?
Okay, sure. Alright, so this is, it's called Children of the Fog, and
I thought you said Children of the Corn.
No, Children of the Fog. It was a weird...
A new theme song for an old horror movie. Man.
I had a strange kind of hallucination kind of thing driving back from Florida for the New Year's in 2000. I was there for a fish show, but it had nothing to do with anything around there. I was just really sick, actually. I had like a flu, and I was the only one driving a car full of people. And I was seeing weird things in Georgia on 95 coming back home.
But you're alive, which is the important thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, so let's hit it.
Somehow we ended up with this song. Every song.
could see a big instrumental thing at the end of that, a big jam at the
yeah.
end of that.
And song. We've actually, yeah, we've done it that way live, because we've played it with Jeff and JJ, who play in the Jeff Hartwell band.
You know, I could hear that song on PLJ.
All right.
I could hear it. You never know what's going to be a hit, right?
Yeah.
You never know. I was very impressive.
Thank you.
Very nice. And if they do make Children of the Fog as a movie, God, you...
Yeah, the story's already there. We don't have time to
I could see it driving in the car, driving in the car on 95, hallucinating, if that's not a horror story.
Yeah, no, it was little kids coming in. There was all this fog, and there were, like, signs that told you, like, permanent signs that there will be fog ahead, which I thought was very bizarre. And then I saw kids and things throwing stuff in front of the car and swinging from nooses. It was weird.
Wow. After a Fish concert. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with that. I was
okay. So what's next, guys?
Go ahead, you can introduce this one.
This is a song I wrote specifically actually for this band, because it seemed to fit the piano bass ensemble. So
called
Sexy.
There you go.
Called Sex?
Sexy.
Oh. Like, it's not a big difference.
No, it's about a girl. It's kind of like it's about a groupie.
Okay.
Sort of like a very, very hot groupie. Into night. should say she's imaginary. I should point that out. It's not an actual groupie.
What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Maybe it came out of. Maybe it was a dream. You know.
Yeah.
Good. So that's you know, I like it in a group where you got two different people writing songs, two different voices. I think it really multiplies the percentage of you actually making it. You know, it's like the Beatles, you know, and the Beatles were like, they had four guys writing and doing stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
we
I mean.
Get two Beatles.
Yeah.
Work with us.
There's two left.
Well, you could hook up with Ringo on one of his tours, right?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Anyway, so like to get to the canned question of the show.
All right.
So what I thought I'd do is I'd throw the first question out to both of you. Chris first. I don't know why, I just thought I'd do it Chris first.
All right.
So, Chris, two CDs, Desert Island.
Okay. Well, the first one that I would take, a lot of people may not have heard of, it's a band called Christie Front Drive, and they were an indie band out of Colorado in like the mid-90s, and it was a CD that a friend of mine had in college. Actually, it was an LP, and it's what they now would describe as shoegaze. Would be the genre now that there's 7,000 genres.
Shoegaze?
Well, shoegaze, because when they play it, it's kind of
you look at your
droning
feet?
And you look straight down at your feet, so you're a shoegazer. And it's like a branch of the emo wing. It's all very bizarre. The people that write and review, and the hipsters in the indie scene make everything way more complicated than it has to be. But anyway, as far as the music goes, it's just all. The way it's mixed is the vocals are purposely unintelligible, but not in like a Nirvana sort of way. It's more of like kind of soaring melody lines, and they kind of, you don't know where the vocals end and the guitar lines begin. And there's like interesting compound rhythms underneath a lot of the stuff, but the guitar is playing big, long, pretty lines, and somehow it all just works out to where you kind of pick out your own words as to what you think he's saying, and it doesn't matter if that's what he's singing, you kind of end up with your own thing. And it's I don't know, it's a very hopeful CD without being like in your face about it or overt about it, and it's just, it sounds beautiful. So that would keep
make
me going.
Sneeze. Cool.
That would make me feel good on the island. And then for the other album, I thought I would bring it back the other way and kind of crush whatever hope I have of perhaps getting off this island, and I would bring like the Brahms Requiem, because I think if I was stranded on a desert island the rest of my life, I would probably go insane at some point, and it would be a pretty cool CD to go insane to, because it's mad and it's brilliant, and it's the textures, the way Brahms orchestrated, they're just real nice. And I could also probably learn German by listening to the same German mass over and over and over again. I know he thinks I'm insane, but yeah, you got one thing to bring you up and give you hope, and another to, like, you know, when you're depressed, you want to listen to depressing music. You don't always want to listen to stuff that makes you feel good. So if I'm on a desert island and I think there's no way I'm getting off, I'm going to die there, there's going to be times where I'm going to want something dark and also glorious. So, Brahms Requiem.
Cool. You can't have light without dark.
Yes, exactly.
So, Rich, what about you? It's going to be hard to beat that combination.
Yeah, I'm far more conventional. I'm going to have to go with
opposites attract.
Just, I mean, can I bring a box set, or do I have to?
Whatever you want.
All right, I'll bring the Bob Marley box set.
Okay.
So I, you know, I mean. It's
so you're done with the question now?
So pretty self-explanatory, though. I mean, you know, it just, I feel like I'm on vacation every time I listen to Bob Marley. And, I mean, there's a couple other things that do that. Like, some of the lighter meter stuff makes me feel that way. Like, just.
Now, I know why you like Bob Marley. I know why you like reggae. Because that's a bassist music.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You get to play I mean, if you're really going to play reggae, you got to get those huge woofers with like 36-inch speakers that you can see move a foot every time you hit a bass note. Yeah, what I love about Bob Marley, when I play music, I love for people to dance. If they don't dance, I somehow feel like they're not quite getting it. That's just kind of, because I grew up in a different time. I grew up in a weird time where actually if you went to a high school dance, there was an actual high school band that played the dance, as opposed to now where it's kind of sad that DJs play all the dances at the schools.
Right.
I mean, actually, I hate to say it, but if I was an educator, and I used to be one, I would ban DJs from the school dances just to give the young kids a chance to, you know, get their rock and roll chops together.
Yeah.
Or hip-hop chops, or whatever. I mean, I don't really care what young people play or listen to, although I am surprised by the amount of profanity in it. But, I mean, to me, it would just be great if they had a chance to go out there and play. Did you guys have DJs or bands at your college or high school dances?
I had both. We played at a couple of them.
Yeah, we had
high school.
I think we always had. I mean, I played in high school bands, but you know, you play like the graduation parties in people's backyards and the, you know, the talent shows and stuff like that. But for our dances, it was always, I guess it was always DJ. But nobody knows how to dance in our generation anyway. Not any of the kids that I went to high school with, I can tell you for sure.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, but I'm saying probably the women knew how to dance.
Yeah.
And the smart guys knew how to dance.
Yeah, that's true.
I keep telling my son, learn to dance. It'll be the key to your success.
See, that's why I play the music, so I don't have to dance.
Is it working for you?
We had a few break dancers.
Good question.
In high school.
I'll get back to you.
A story that's partially written.
But the other one, just to mention, would be Black Sabbath, Paranoid. Just because.
Now, what were the big songs on that one? Iron Man, was that on?
Oh, yeah, Iron Man, War Pigs, Electric Funeral, Planet Caravan, Paranoid, Fairies Wear Boots.
Fairies Wear Boots. Boots,
you know, like.
It's funny, I was last night, I just got a cable box with my cable TV. I'd never had the cable box, and now I have like twice as many channels, so I've been hooked on VH1 Classic. And last night they had the History of Heavy Metal, which is like 4 hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're talking about how when they got out of the glam heavy metal into like Metallica, Metallica actually brought back Black Sabbath.
Right.
So they brought them back, and they talked about Ozfest and how Ozfest introduced a lot of bands to America. But I mean, I was in high school when Black Sabbath came out. I mean, I was a fan. I mean, I love Grand Funk Railroad. They were a pretty heavy band when they first started before Todd Rundgren made them money.
Well, it's funny, like you can look at the Beatles to see the trend in music in the 60s. And then I think you can kind of look at Ozzy to see the trend in heavy metal over the past 30 years. Because, I mean, he was in Black Sabbath, and then he did the whole glam thing with Jakey Lee in after Randy Rhoads died. And then Zakk Wylde got him back into the, started playing the Sabbath again, did a reunion tour with them.
Or you could just look at the Stones, and they'll cover the last 85 years
of
music. You can get it all in one band.
Yeah, they're a little bizarre. One night they had some concert by the Stones. And I'm thinking, you know, at least for part of it, like I know 10 bar bands who could do those songs at least as well. But I thought the thing that sells the Stones is pure and simple Mick Jagger. He has one weird dancer. It's just strutting around like a rooster.
Yeah, he's definitely unique as a...
All right, so we're kind of dance for us.
Anyway,
guys. How come I got elected?
You gotta sit down.
Anyway, guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
it was
you,
a
Roger.
Pleasure having you. And we'll see you very shortly.
All right.
That's a wrap.
All right. We're out.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Okay, so I can pick one Bob Marley album. I was like, they're all.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, man. I just go with it. You know, as long as you don't sit there, open your mouth like I didn't give this any thought whatsoever, and now we'll just kill dead air.
So we're gonna go right into the next set.
Does anyone need to pee? Well, he's got to do another sound check.
We're gonna switch.
He's got. Okay. So let me unhook
you. How did it sound, Rita? Good?
It sounded good. It sounded good.
Now, I moved back a little bit because
we had to do, Gary had to come back and fix camera too because you stepped out of the shot.
But I wanted to step out of the shot when they were playing.
We just needed you to come back in.
Oh,
and you ended
come
up
back?
Just staying out the whole time.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
sorry about that.
For the blocking. Actually, you know what? We can actually just, do you want to just...
I'll just sit there and play it, yeah. We just gotta get the guitar out.
Yeah, no, but I mean, we can ditch the...
Oh, you're gonna get rid of it?
Keyboard, yeah.
Okay.
You're not playing keyboard on this?
No, no, now I play one song on the bass and one on guitar.
Yeah, we switch.
So we're just gonna switch.
Okay, fine.
That's one of the problems with doing live shows. Maybe we'll mention that. Is we constantly switch instruments.
No, I remember Traffic. I used to do that all the time.
Alright. I'm just gonna unplug you from here.
Yeah, actually, we did some gigs with Tito, and he turned us on to this.